You are listening to Long Innings, brought to you by Cricket Next. On this episode of Long Innings, we focus on a few key tournaments, series and events in women's cricket that made the news.
The stock of women's cricket is on the rise, and it is about time. There are more and more sound bites available in the media, lots of visibility on social media, in newspapers, and this is only good news. Because like their male counterparts, women cricketers deserve their time in the sun, and 2017 and now 2018 were those years when women's cricket took all the right steps in that direction. On this Cricket Next podcast, we take a look at the year 2018 and we focus on a few key tournaments, series and events that made the news. The big behemoth wakes up finally. After India's stellar run in the 50-over World Cup of 2017, the interest it generated finally got the BCCI to show some interest of its own in women's cricket beyond the obvious. The number of women cricketers centrally contracted by the BCCI also went up to 19. That said, the difference in the pay scale for men and women still leaves a lot to be desired. Let's just say that if this disparity existed in tennis, there would be riots. The on-field performance of the Indian cricket team certainly helped the BCCI realize that there was some money to be made here by marketing women's cricket in a better and different way. A sign of this was evident during the 2018 IPL when an exhibition women's T20 match was held in May at the Wankhede Stadium between two sides, captained by Indians, Harmanpreet Kaur and Smriti Mandhana. The sides also included international stars like Meg Lanning, Susie Bates and Elise Perry. It helped that the match went down to the wire with Harmanpreet's supernova team winning a low-scoring affair by 3 wickets over Smriti's Trailblazers. The match did pique the interest of the public and also players over the possibility of a women's IPL in the coming years, with India captain Mithali Raj even saying that she reckons that women's IPL may be a year or two away in an interview during the Women's T20 World Cup. It will certainly help that one of the members of the COA or Committee of Administrators that oversees the running of the BCCI is former cricketer Diana Edulji. The WBBL bookends the year. 2018 began with the Women's Big Bash League in the second half of the 17-18 season and saw the Sydney Sixers team beat the Perth Scorchers team by 9 wickets. The matches were competitive and Australia's Elise Perry emerged as a leading run-getter of the tournament. The tournament also saw India's Harmanpreet Kaur turn out and do well for the Sydney Thunder franchisee, which by the way made the semis, and Smriti Mandhana and Veda Krishnamurthy play for the Hobart Hurricanes team. As 2018 ended, the next season of the WBBL was in full swing and the format is certainly a hit in sport-loving Australia, where spectators throng the stadiums to support their women cricketers. The Asia Cup, India's debacle. The tournament was held in Malaysia in June of 2018 with 7 teams participating in a round-robin format, with the top two then advancing towards the finals. The tournament was noted for the fact that it was the first time India did not emerge as champions of the Asia Cup, instead lost by 3 wickets to Bangladesh in the finals. Bangladesh had earlier beaten them in the group stages as well. This tournament also saw an unlikely result in Thailand beating Sri Lanka by 4 wickets. Pakistan ended up third in the tournament. The tournament resulted in a coaching shuffle within the Indian cricket team and Romesh Pawar took over as coach after this tournament. The Women's T20 World Cup, the big prize. The 6th edition of the Women's T20 World Cup was played in West Indies in November. The West Indies were the defending champions and along with England, Australia and New Zealand were one of the favourites to win the tournament. In fact, these four were expected to make the semi-finals. 10 nations played the tournament and were split into 2 groups with the top 2 after the round-robin matches progressing to the semis. England and West Indies from the big 4 of Women's T20 cricket in Group A and Australia and New Zealand in Group B. West Indies were in no mood to relinquish their title and squashed all the teams in their group stages to top their pool. The resilience and depth of their squad was tested particularly against South Africa, where after scoring only 107 in their 20 overs, their bowlers, led by Stephanie Taylor, blew the South Africans for 76. Later, Diandra Doughton guided them home by being the top scorer in a low-scoring chase against England, resulting in them winning with only 3 balls to spare. England finished 2nd in the group behind West Indies, to whom they lost. Their task was made tougher as one of their games early on in the tournament got rained out. This made their match against the South Africans a virtual knockout game. England won that game quite comfortably. Asia Cup winners Bangladesh fared poorly to finish bottom of Group A below Sri Lanka, with South Africa third behind England. Group B did not turn out to be so straightforward for the top two ranked sides, Australia and New Zealand. In fact, the very first match of the group showed India's potential. Led by a brilliant 100 by Captain Kaur, 103 of just 51 balls, India posted 194 against New Zealand, who could only manage 160 in reply. India went from strength to strength in the tournament after that, beating arch-rivals Pakistan in their next match, then smashing Ireland before facing Australia in their final group match. New Zealand's loss to India meant they had to get the better of Australia to be in the mix to reach the top two position in the group. In the match between the two sides, led by Alisa Healy's 53, Australia posted a competitive 153. New Zealand wilted under that pressure and folded at 120. Thus, the match between India and Australia became the match to determine the table topper. This time, it was Mandhana who led the Indian charge, and they beat Australia comprehensively by 48 runs. The semis saw Australia take on the hosts, West Indies, while India locked horns with England. Healy once again starred with the bat in Australia's stirring 71-run win over West Indies. In the second semi-final, a bizarre Indian team decision to drop Mithali Raj from the playing 11 came back to haunt them as they collapsed batting first to score only 112, a score which England overhauled with ease to win by 8 wickets. The final saw England get bundled out for 105, which the Aussies scored with almost 5 overs to spare to win their fourth World T20 Women's title. The game saw Eliza Perry become the first cricketer, male or female, to take 100 T20i wickets. Alisa Healy was awarded the Player of the Series award for being the leading and most consistent scorer in the tournament. The event was watched around the world, especially in India, with our team doing well and generated quite a good buzz on social media. Best of the rest. While the Asia Cup and the Women's T20 World Cup were the marquee tournaments, there were other notable performances also during this year. Australia were dominant, and in May against Pakistan and Malaysia, they won a three-match ODI series 3-0, before which they had blanked the Indian team 3-0 in India. Pakistan had earlier beaten Sri Lanka in Sri Lanka in both the ODI and T20 formats. After winning the ODI series against India, Australia also went on to win a tri-series in India featuring England as the third team. India beat England and did well away in South Africa, winning both the ODI and T20 series, with Mithali Raj, Poonam Yadav and Smriti Mandhana being the standout players. They also beat Sri Lanka and Sri Lanka in both the ODI and T20 series, which saw the emergence of young India player Jemima Rodriguez. New Zealand toured England, where England won the ODI series 2-0. They also played a tri-series T20 tournament in England, with South Africa as the third team. England came out on top there as well, with their bowler Sophie Eccleston picking the Player of the Series award for 10 wickets in 5 games. England had also beaten South Africa in an ODI series 2-0. South Africa and the West Indies played a series in West Indies. The ODI series ended tied 1-1 and the T20 series ended tied 2-2. Even Sri Lanka toured the West Indies in October 2018, where they played a three-match T20 and a three-match ODI series. The West Indies won both 3-0. Stephanie Taylor and Diandra Dutton performed well. In December, the ICC named its T20 and ODI teams of the year. And here's the list of ICC Women's ODI Teams of the Year in batting order. 1. Smriti Mandhana from India. 2. Tammy Beaumont from England. 3. Susie Bates from New Zealand, the captain. 4. Dane Van Niekerk from South Africa. 5. Sophie Devine from New Zealand. 6. Alisa Healy from Australia, the wicketkeeper. 7. Marizanne Kapp from South Africa. 8. Deandra Dutton from the West Indies. 9. Sana Mir from Pakistan. 10. Sophie Eccleston from England. And 11. Poonam Yadav from India. And as far as the ICC Women's T20I Team of the Year goes, in batting order, this is the list. Number 1. Smriti Mandhana from India. 2. Alisa Healy from Australia. 3. Susie Bates from New Zealand. 4. Harmanpreet Kaur from India. 5. Natalie Skiver from England. 6. Elise Perry from Australia. 7. Ashleigh Gardner from Australia. 8. Leigh Kasparek from New Zealand. 9. Megan Schutt from Australia. 10. Rumana Ahmed from Bangladesh. And 11. Poonam Yadav from India. Four players in Bates, Mandhana, Healy and Yadav made both squads, and Bates was named captain of the ODI team, while Kaur was named the captain of the T20 team. India's Smriti Mandhana was named the ICC Woman Cricketer of the Year, only the second Indian to be named so, and also the ICC Women's ODI Player of the Year. Australia's Elisa Healy was named Women's T20 Player of the Year. The T20 list saw a Bangladeshi player named for the very first time ever. Coach controversies. Shortly after India's exit from the 2018 World T20 semi-final, all hell broke loose as a feud erupted between star India player Mithali Raj and the then interim coach Ramesh Pawar. Mithali accused Pawar of dropping her from the team before the T20 semi-final and also accused him, along with the COA member of Diana Edulji, of trying to stymie her career. She also said many in the team were opposed to his methods. Pawar in turn accused Raj of putting her aspirations before the team's by not agreeing to bat lower down the order for the sake of a better team balance and threatening to retire midway into the tournament if she was not allowed to open the innings. This spat prevented his term from being automatically extended, and instead applications for the post of the coach were sought by the BCCI. During all of this, Harmanpreet Kaur and Smriti Mandhana came out in support of Pawar being made to continue as coach, saying that his methods had transformed the team's mentality and brought in a winning attitude within the team. They also said that the decision to drop Raj was not entirely Pawar's, but of the team management, keeping the larger interest of the team in mind. Players like Ekta Bisht and Raj opposed him, thus bringing to light differences within the Indian team. So, 28 people applied for the Indian women's team coach, with prominent names such as Gary Kirsten, who coached India to World Cup success, Venkatesh Prasad, Manoj Prabhakar, Brad Hogg and W.V. Raman. Pawar too reapplied, with Edulji pushing him to remain coach. Interviews were held for the candidates, and on the 20th of December last year, W.V. Raman was named coach of the team. Raman had a brief international career with the Indian men's team in the early 90s, but is recognised as one of the better Indian coaches around. Remains to be seen what his stint does for women's cricket in India. That, in a nutshell, was women's cricket in 2018, hoping for more prominence in the years to come.
This podcast was brought to you by Cricket Next. Thanks for tuning in.